Okay, Marcus was next. I think it was a question.
Real quick, I have not received a request for information from you, so you may want to check that. And if you need something from me, please send it. And two, what is the meaning of FRAC? What does that acronym stand for?
Okay. I'm not sure what the first question is. The second question is easy. It's the Fiscal Recovery and Accountability Task Force.
It's Financial Reform Audit Task Force.
Okay, Financial Reform and Accountability Task Force. It's meeting every other Friday. It is open to all of the treasurers and all of the members of the NFC. So it's something that you could, you know, hook on to for this upcoming year if you want to. And it basically is focusing on the auditor's suggestions and implementing them, apart from the NFC, whose primary focus, obviously, is the budget process.
Understood.
Okay. Hang on a sec. What was the first question, Marcus? I didn't...
At the first point, you had indicated you had sent out a request for information to the various treasurers. And to my knowledge...
From the auditor.
I thought that you were on that. No. The request for information was specific to some of the stations which were, in the opinion of the auditor, had not gotten him things that he needed, and it was WBAI, KPFA, and KPFK. So it would not have gone to WPFW or to Houston.
Madam Chair?
Because apparently he had what he needed. Okay, so that takes care of... Marcus, I have Kim on the stack, followed by Campbell.
I did some research on software as well, and we can certainly look at this. I had found another name. My issue with software is I think we should do a budgeting program with it. Because who's fooling around with the phone? Because I think
somebody's probably trying to mute. But anyway,
because I think that's something that we should have rather than what we have now, which is a system that's not really working.
Well, I don't know what the characteristics are that Microsoft Dynamics would bring to the plate that. Great Plains does not. I am aware that we wouldn't have to use the Report Writer program, and that in and of itself seems positive based on the curse words applied to that program fairly frequently by people at this committee. But I think that's a good question and something that we should find out. And it may be that at some point in time we would have the auditor as a guest to talk about this with us in more detail. And that might make sense. I think Campbell is next, followed by Ken.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe you said that the FRAT meetings were on Friday. I think it's Monday.
I thought I said Monday, and I intended to say Monday. They're scheduled for January 9th and 23rd.
Right. Yeah.
Going forward. And they're not scheduled beyond that for obvious reasons.
Exactly. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Apologies if I screwed up the day of the week. Ken, you're next.
Yes. I'm glad that Kim mentioned that. It's absolutely correct, and I just wanted to state it for all the members of this committee. I've been in IT for a long time, and the use of Excel, the advantages to it is it's very creative. It can do whatever you want. The major disadvantage to Excel is it has no internal integrity or security. It's absolutely transparent to anything you want to do. You can have formulas in a cell. You can go in, change the formula. You can change the content. So you have no integrity. And what happens in practice is people take June and they make it a copy and save it as July, and then they update the numbers. It is really not accounting software. So Kim is very, very correct that budgets should come out of existing accounting software and be maintained in it so that you can, you know, your normal entries in an accounting program would automatically put out how close you are to a budget. You know, it would just be automated. In other words, budgeting is part of accounting, and it is one of the functions that should be fulfilled by a robust and adequate accounting system. I think it's a mandatory requirement, not just a cute feature. So, I mean, whatever we're going to look into, the sooner we can get out of using Excel, there's nothing wrong with using Excel, but depending upon Excel is really treacherous. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, Kim and I both know, we've looked at spreadsheets and said, how come the number down here doesn't equal the number on the next tab when they're supposed to be the same value? And that's the kind of thing you run into all the time, and a lot of wasted human effort trying to coordinate discrepancies between tabs. So I think it's I'm very glad Kim brought that up, and I really would stress that as a requirement. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else on the stack? Eileen, do you have any Okay. Eileen, I'm also going to ask if you have any response to this. It sounds like we're going to need a little more information and some time, but...
I totally agree that we would like to have budgeting, you know, work into it. I can't tell. I haven't researched this, so I don't know what's out there and how available it is. We have to be sure that it does, that we don't sacrifice a lot of other things. I remember when I was researching for the publishing company that I worked for, and we were trying to work to put together our sales data and our accounting data. And there weren't any good systems that were compatible. It's amazing. I mean, this was, you know, close to 20 years ago now, but still, or maybe 15. But it's something that we have, you know, there are a lot of issues that have to be looked at whenever we're looking at switching anything. And it does take some research, and it should involve numerous people because we all come up with different questions and different inputs. And many eyes help to catch the things that could glitch us up later.
Okay. Bill, you're next.
Yeah, I'm certainly not the person to suggest what kind of accounting software to use, but, you know, sometimes it is worth taking some time and talking to some people that professionally do accounting and are familiar with different software packages and what they like and don't like about different platforms. Because if you choose the wrong one, you could waste a whole lot of additional time or pay for things that you don't need and still be lacking some feature that you do need. Maybe we'll take care of the report writing, but you'd miss something else out. And I know just looking briefly at the Microsoft Dynamics, I mean, I assume it's the same thing as Great Plains except a later version. I don't know. I'm not sure it'll fix your problem. But it also looks like it's more designed for manufacturing industries. It's got a lot of features that we wouldn't need and involved with inventory management and engineering change order control and stuff like that. I hope we don't have to pay for things that we don't need. But it's, I don't know, if it does what we need, it might be cost effective as long as it saves us time and, you know, reduces errors. The other problem I keep thinking about is that we've been talking about training people in each of the stations for a long time on how to use this. Well, both Memphis and Great Plains. And if it's that hard to use, then we need to make sure we find something else that's easier to use or somehow we do different kind of training. I don't know what. But it's not a trivial thing. You know, you don't want to just jump and go with something that has a nice advertising brochure. We really need to talk to users, people are familiar with different software platforms and see what they need. I'm talking about the general ledger software, of course, not budgeting, but
Barbara for the stack.
It would be nice if we could combine them. Yeah, but that's different than Memphis, of course.
Yeah. Okay, Barbara, you're up.
I agree with what you're just saying, Bill, but also I think one of the things is not just asking people we know who have various programs they use, but it should be a program that will handle the kind of organization this is with all its various parts that we look at separately and together. That's important for us as far as these statements and reports that we all need to study and produce and be able to read and deal with. Some group, we've got to find groups that are like ours, see what they're using.
Kim to the stack.
Writing point.
Kim to the stack.
Okay, I heard Kim. I haven't heard anybody else, so Kim, go ahead.
I just looked up what I had written down, and what I came up with was a package called Ceramic. And this is a software that is for nonprofits. Bill is correct. Great Plains, and this new Great Plains is for manufacturing. So we're, you
know. Could you spell the name of the thing you're just mentioning?
Ceramic.
Ceramic. Okay.
So
please spell it again slowly. Point of information.
Ceramic. I mean, it does things that Great Plains doesn't do, like tracking grants, which is something KPFK is having a problem with right now. Whatever, there are options out there, and that's, you know, we need to wait for the audit, wait for Ross Wisdom's time, and maybe somebody else here would like to do some research on this, you know, and plus, all of this stuff is going to cost a lot of money to transfer over, which is why we're probably not going to do it real soon.
Barbara for the stack. I'd like to go back to the comment Arlene made a little while ago yes, costs money, but we waste a lot of money, essentially, with all the difficulty we have of communicating over our reports.
True.
And I think we could save a lot that way, and our business managers and people that produce these reports would be able to work more efficiently. There are a lot of things that don't get done or, you know, wait a long time because of all these difficulties. That's all.
Okay. I actually think we're kind of going in circles and have gone about as far as we can go on this item, but are there any last words or things that people want to say they haven't said? Okay, then Ken, I'm going to hand it over to you for the item about fund drive receipts.
Okay, I distributed, uploaded a file called Policy on Fund Drives Across Stations. It's a sensitive area because it's like who's getting the bigger piece of the pie. Right now, I'm most aware of when KPFK does fund drives. Fund drives concurrently are run at KPFA. They start ahead of us or they end after us. And we're broadcasting some of their content. Basically, Mitch Jesuit and a news program that's co-produced. So in looking at that and examining what's done in other organizations, I think what we want to do is set some overall principles about ownership of content and who's allowed to use what and how, if there's... In other words, if I take show A produced at station Y, anybody can broadcast it, and anybody can tag on their own promotional pitch to it. However, if station A is, excuse me, station Y with program A is putting in their own fund drive statement in there, it's going to be broadcast over my airwaves, and I'm going to want some of the revenue that might arrive from that. So, again, in this policy, I try to solve that with a solution of a fixed price to cover the administrative costs of the station that's receiving the donation and having to deliver the premium. But the issue, the point is that we should, I believe, that we should facilitate the ability of stations to share programming, especially during fund drives. And in order to do that, we want to make standardized rules across the network that are simple to understand and implement, as simple as we can make them. so that it doesn't turn into unusual contracts and deals and real sophisticated things that are, you know,
lawyers.
Yeah, well, you know, try to cut it down and make it as simple as possible with standardized policy across the network so that we can broadcast a special that's generated at one station or a regular program that's played all the time. And I put this policy forward to try to accommodate that. But there's got to be buy-in. So I'm not, I don't have the status to implement my will like that. The thing is, I think if you go over this policy and take a look at it and then make suggestions, and we come up with a draft idea, maybe we make a task force, I do feel that this is going to coordinate with the upcoming staff manuals that's going to be coming from our HR services and the staff policies. And I do personally feel that this kind of a thing is best advised by the PNB as governance, but declared by management as policy. Because it's a business thing. It's how do you handle these networks, and what's the how do you handle the elements of the networks in a way that's, to me, most important, workable, which doesn't require additional resources. Because if we get a $25 donation at point X, we don't want to spend $10 trying to redistribute those funds. We want to redistribute those funds as economically with as little effort as possible. Don't want to waste more effort on internal bureaucracies. So that's why I propose this. I think you have to go to files, and it was down at the bottom of the Yahoo group, and it's my suggestion. And I'm not going to go into the details of my suggestion, but the basic principle I have, the number one thing is, the first thing is, the Pacific Foundation is a network of radio stations, and all programs produced by the Foundation or any of its subsidiaries, including the stations, are the property of the Foundation. So things produced by a station belong to the Foundation, not to the station. And the last case is, which I think is inherent in anything, in the case where there are disputes or conflicts, they have to be resolved at the discretion of the ED or their ED's appointed representative. In other words, you always have to leave a prescribed method for solving where the ball bearing doesn't roll along the way it's supposed to and something happened. It's unusual. So I think that the best way to do that is it's up to the ED to handle that and say, okay, 75 cents goes this way and $1.40 goes that way. That's it. I made my mind up. We're done. Let's go on to the next show. So, and in between those two items, I've got my suggested policy, and I think this is my best shot at it. But, of course, with all the intelligence we have on this committee, I'm sure other people are going to come up with improvements, which I would gladly see. This is something I submitted to the FRAT committee and the FRAT task force, and we just haven't gotten to it yet. And a lot of the people on the FRAT task force are on this committee too. So I think take a look at it. It's important because we have a lot of good shows on the networks. We may have to, I don't know what the financial future is. We may have to be cutting down our production costs and sharing more of our programming. So this is going to be happening. I'm going to stop talking now. Thank you.
All right then.
All right.
Okay. So are you presenting then the motion to the committee? I mean, is that basically the action that you're taking?
I'm submitting this policy. I would not make a motion to approve this policy until it's reviewed.
Okay. Okay, but you're presenting it for review at this time.
That's correct.
Okay. So does anyone have any questions or initial comments?
Or Paul?
Okay, anybody else?
Jim?
Marcus?
Okay, I heard R. Paul, followed by Marcus, followed by Jim.
Okay, looking at it, I think a lot of things need to get defined, like number one, all programs produced by the foundation. what's produced by the foundation mean? What is property of the foundation mean? There are a lot of issues here that have come up in the past and have sort of not been all that resolved. And sometimes people say stuff and it sounds like one thing, but it means something different to everyone else. So without going through this much, I see that number one alone is a starts raising some issues. You know, if I do a program, does that mean Pacifica owns the whole thing? And if somebody produces something all on their own and hands in a CD and it's played on BAI, does that mean all of Pacifica owns that? What does own mean? There are a lot of, there needs to be some definitions. That's all.
Okay. Moving on down the stack to Marcus.
Yeah, just real quick, I agree with the initial comments the gentleman just made. Also, PFW is a little different station in that we're primarily jazz programming, so I am cautioned that the suggestion about sharing programming and kind of having some kind of unified programming, since our programming is very different, and it is important for us to retain that jazz and justice mission. So that causes pause for me. But I certainly will review this and make further comments.
Okay. I'm sorry. Jim is next on the stack.
I'm just curious of how big a problem this is. Are we talking about $4,000 or $5,000 over a calendar year or $50,000 over a calendar year? What's the parameters of the dollar amounts you're talking about?
I would say my estimate is between KPFA and KPFK. You know, Kim actually knows the amount of funds that we received from KPFA in the last fund drive, just to get an order of magnitude. In other words, the shows that we broadcast that were originated from KPFA, where they ask people to call their phone numbers to make donations. And if the phone call originated from one of our area codes, then we would get some of that donation. It's that kind of a thing. And I would say the money's in the tens of thousands of dollars a year at least. And that's at our current level of interstation syndication currently. But if we were to get, theoretically, if we have a national program, it becomes more significant. And it's we don't want to close the door on having more national programs because we can't come to an agreement. So even if it's not applicable, we want to start setting the policy now before the fact, not after the fact, not when we have disputes. We should settle our agreements ahead of time. Somebody's going to be the last person to interview Noam Chomsky before he passes on to his rewards, okay? And let's say that's on BAI or KPFA or KPFK, and we're going to have that interview. And that interview is going to be a prime item in a fund drive. So it's, how is that handled? Or if KPFA covers Occupy Oakland, and that's being broadcast in Houston during their fund drive. And, how does the donations get split up? And it is an issue. And it comes to, I know between KPFK and KPFA currently, again, I haven't done an audit on this, but it's certainly in the tens of thousands of dollars a year and probably like 50 to 100.
Arlene to the shack.
All right, Arlene, go ahead.
I think we would have to distinguish between two different situations here. One is a program that is a regular program that's carried on another station, and there's fundraising during that, during that show, such as Mitch Jezrich's Letters in Politics. And the other is specials that may be carried by another station, or they may use it as a premium. You know, there are several different ways that a program like that may be used. And it seems to me that there are two different two different issues here that would have to be dealt with in this kind of policy.
Arlene's exactly correct, and with the, we want to look at it now, not when we have a problem. Well, let's be proactive.
Okay.
Kim,
sounds good.
Kim to the staff.
Okay, Kim. Bill. Anybody? Okay, Bill. Anybody else? Okay.
Just per Ken's assertion, no, I have no idea how much we get from KPFA. I don't know where it's broken out. It doesn't show up anywhere that I'm aware of.
Bill, you're next.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. One thing just kind of learn, I mean, this kind of overlaps with the programming committee also, but it's also finances. You know, we have several syndicated shows that we cover, I mean, that we carry. At least two of them are produced by Pacifica stations. We carry the weekly version of Sonali Kalhatkar Show, Uprising, and we carry Exploration by Michio Kaku. And they, when they have canned pitches, they usually do really poorly in Fund Drive. And our other syndicated shows are the same way. Live pitching or whatever sounds like live pitching makes a tremendous difference. And a couple of years ago, they were considering dropping Exploration. And, you know, a lot of us complained because we liked the show. They put it back. They got Michio Kaku. And they also got Sonali Kalhatkar to do some live pitching for us. Now, the shows weren't live, but they did live pitching for us, or they sure sounded live. And it about tripled the donations to their shows. And so that's something we need to work in on all these things. If we have pitching that's for the specific station, the shows don't have to be live, but if the pitching is live, it can really help a lot. And we have some other really excellent shows that we don't have live pitching for or any effective pitching, like From the Vault. We've got in the middle of the night now because when we've had it on before, it just doesn't bring any money. I mean, it's one of the best shows we have, I think, you know, from Pacific Already Archives. Chowder Spin from Fairs the same way. And so we need to think about how we can get the pitching to work and related to individual stations.
Okay. Sounds like we are pretty much at the end of this. Any last shots before we reconvene in closed session?
Well, what are we going to do about this? Discuss it at the next meeting, or what should we do?
What Ken asked us to do was review it and come back to the next meeting prepared to put forward a motion.
Okay.
Is that correct, Ken?
Yes, and anybody who wants to start a dialogue via the group, do so. But I'm just saying, you know, I'm just putting out, this is a start. You don't like paragraph four? Make a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
And also, please be aware that management is currently working on standardizing agreements for programmers and content and all of the issues that there's just a fuzzy reality and everybody has an opinion about but have to be addressed properly. So this will dovetail with that, in my opinion. I'd like a comment if Arlene sees how that coordinates with this or supplements it. Arlene? Hello?
Sorry, I was on mute.
Oh, okay.
Oh, dear, I'm sorry. I forgot what the question was.
Well, now, this kind of agreement between stations in terms of Fund Drive collections across programs broadcast across the stations complements or coordinates with the management's efforts to standardize agreements with programmers.
Right. Yes. Yes, it does. And it makes sense to have a standard policy, you know, with a little bit of flexibility built in for any kind of exceptions that belong there. But I think it also, in the process, might encourage a little more use of some of these things, too, if there was some standardization of what people can expect and what they expect it to cost them or whatever.
I think that, just as a parting thing, if you read it over and bring up your considerations, but always my just as an indulgence, not what's wrong with it, provide an alternative. Don't say, well, this
right.
is no good because Jim doesn't like it and so forth. So, good. What do you want to do about Jim? Provide an alternative. I mean, I'm saying Jim as a generic thing. I'm not referring to anybody.
Yeah. And the other thing is that I think this committee does a much better job than some of our committees, but we need to be keeping in mind that this is a network and that we have to work for the good of the entire network. And that's one of the things that I really appreciate that I hear from this committee over and over.
Yeah, we try.
Okay, I think we're good, folks. No break. We will convene on the other side in closed session for approximately 30 minutes. So I will see you all on the other side.
If there's anyone who doesn't have the number, email me, but you should see it on your copy of the agenda that went out this morning.
Are you saying in 30 minutes, Tracy?
No, I'm saying the duration will be 30 minutes of the
oh,
closed
okay.
session.
I was going to say, yeah. Okay.
No. Right now.
Okay.
Okay.